Yes. Well, you can open up to John chapter 11 this morning. John chapter 11. And I ask you a question. What does the glory of God mean to you? Is it food for your belly when you're hungry and someone gets you something to eat or takes you out and buys you dinner? Is it forgiveness you are seeking from someone? Is it a miracle of healing that you need in your life? Is it financially motivated? Glory of God. You're there, and we're going to look, I want to read from verse 32, but God prompted me earlier when I came in. Just to make sure, bring clarity. In chapter 11, though, of John, verse 1, now a certain man was sick. Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. That was to bring clarity, because this is about Lazarus, about raising Lazarus. And like I say, I was going to start with verse 32. But he told me in the Spirit to read verse 4. Okay? When Jesus heard that he was sick, he said, "This sickness is not unto death." Words are powerful. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Okay? As we know, Lazarus went and passed on. So let's get on to verse 32, because he's going to visit him. Then, when Mary came where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Verse 37. And some of them, we always got some of them. And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Verse 38. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Now Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench. He stinks all the way to heaven." "For he has been dead 4 days." Time has no bearing on what Jesus can do. No bearing. He controls time. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you earlier that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he prayed, He prayed. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He goes on to say, and you always hear me.
Yeah.
And then with all the confidence, he very loudly yelled, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out. More alive than he ever was. But he needed to get those clothes off and get on a new suit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The grave clothes were gone.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, set this man free. He's no longer bound to death. But what Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe? Believe. To trust in Jesus or God as able to aid either in obtaining or in doing something. You would see the glory of God. The glory of God. That's His awesome presence. And where His presence is, there's power. There is power. In His presence here, there was resurrection power.
Yeah.
His presence. Psalm 57, verse 5. Psalm 57, verse 5. This better, Shirley? Hey, I got to listen to my critics. verse 5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. That is His magnificence, His splendor, His majesty, to be above them. Psalm, here's another one, Psalm 19. Psalm 19, Shirley. Psalm 19. Verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. The heavens declare His magnificence and splendor with the evidence in the firmament. The sky above with all the stars, all of that, that's magnificence. That is splendor. That is power. Power that creates. I almost made you do this one, but the song. So will I. So will I. 100 billion times. The chorus. Chorus one. Because there's several choruses in this one. As you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. Think of that, folks. He made those to bring Him honor, to bring Him praise.
Yeah.
They were created for that. Why should we not?
Amen.
We were created in His image. And all creation should sing His praises. Amen. Psalm 24, verses 7 and 8. Lift up your heads, O you gates, doors to our sanctuary, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors to our sanctuary. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. This psalm was often set to music, and it was used in corporate worship. And it may have been reenacted who knows how many times at the temple. The people outside would call out to the temple gates to open up and let the King of Glory in. And from inside, the priests or other groups would ask, "Who is the King of Glory?" Outside, the people would respond in unison, "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle," proclaiming His great power and His strength. This exchange was repeated. You don't have to take my word for it. Right there to verses 9 and 10. "Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. This exchange, like I say, was repeated twice. Then the gates would swing open, symbolizing the desire of the people to have God's presence among them. That's why we got them doors open.
Yeah. Yeah.
We ain't shutting the doors no more.
Amen.
Yeah. Let the King of Glory in. Hallelujah. Yeah. Who is the King of Glory? The King of Glory, identified also as the Lord of hosts, or the commander of heaven's armies, is the Messiah. The King of Glory is King Jesus. He is King. And we're His kids. What's that make us? Amen. Amen. When God's glory shows up, do you always notice it right away? Or do you witness the hand of God and only realize later what has happened? God and all His glory was in the house there. It proves He does make house calls, folks. He does make house calls. He comes to His house and He'll come to your house if you ask Him to come in. He will come in and dwell with you. The glory of God isn't just a feeling, an event, or an Old Testament experience. It is a supernatural tsunami of everything contained in the character of God. Let that tsunami roll all over us. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. "But we all, with unveiled faces, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." To go from glory to glory, to be ever increasing in glory, is to continually be changed into what we were created to be. And it is to be conformed to His likeness and increasing in His character and nature. Take us from glory to glory, hallelujah. That should be our call. The glory of God has been called the manifested presence of God but more than just a presence, it's power.
Yeah.
It is power.
Amen.
The kind of power that resurrects, delivers, overcomes, and transforms. It is greater and stronger than any power in existence. And it belongs to us.
Amen.
Belongs to us. I know you're sitting there and your head says, really? Yeah. It belongs to us. Maybe you feel like the glory of God is untouchable, unreachable, or reserved for some special church services. The power of God is available to us 24/7.
Amen.
To manifest in our lives, in our church, and in our nation. But if we aren't expecting to see the glory of God, we probably won't. Just like anything in God's kingdom, it takes faith to see a manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to tell us something. The glory of God is a visible power. In the Old Testament, the glory of God appeared as a cloud, smoke, and fire. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. How come every time I mention one of the older Testament scriptures, Denny giggles? Okay. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. He made his presence in the form of fire. I liked it though, but he called. Then you get on and says, then when Moses wanted to investigate, which God really likes, by the way, he wanted, look, I got to see why this had burned. But God knew who he was. He said, Moses, called him by name, Moses. When you start to get inquisitive about something, you're going to say, Mario. You're going to say, I'm here. So like Moses, I'm here. I'm listening. Saying that, hey, Rich. Yeah, I'm here. His presence is here. His presence is in the form of fire here, though. That's what I want to make you know. In Exodus 33. Exodus 33, verses 9 and 10. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud, almost is like a big old tornado thing, straight up and down, descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the door, at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped, each one in his tent. They knew better than to get close to the cloud. They knew better. The people could approach only to a certain distance. He couldn't get too close. Moses would go in, and then a cloud would come down in the doorway. which means don't come crossing past us. I'm going to talk to my man. Nowadays, he talks to each and every one of us. If you recognize his presence. The people would watch from a distance as the cloud was at the doorway of the tabernacle. And they all recognized it was the presence of God. And they bowed to the ground. They bowed. They bowed respectfully. They bowed respectfully. Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. I'm getting near the end of Exodus here, ain't we? They're finally going to make it out. Verse 34 and 35. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory that filled the tabernacle was so great and so brilliant and so powerful, not even Moses could enter. The cloud above it, though, represented to the people that God's presence was there with them and that he was making it his dwelling. He isn't at the doorway anymore. You understand? This is called Shekinah glory. Shekinah means God's divine presence. The visible power of God's presence dwelling on the earth was seen, as I said, as a cloud, smoke, and fire. Shekinah glory. Shekinah glory, the Hebrew name given for the presence of God dwelling on the earth. Jews believed that they can experience God's presence when they are praying together. God's closeness to Jews means that he can understand human suffering, and so prayer is an important part of Jews developing their relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Works for them.
Yeah, that's right.
Does it work for us?
Yeah.
Look to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Sorry, Teresa, I'll remember not to do that again. You are wondering what I'm talking about, right? She said, quit sticking your finger in your mouth and writing your pages. Move your pages. Okay. And the only reason she remembered that because she saw the video. Okay. All right, we're Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. She's trying to refine me, and I need refinement.
Okay.
As a long time ago, George Moss called me a diamond in the rough, and I said, what do you mean by that? He's sure a piece of coal that hasn't been formed yet. It's still crushing on me. God's still working on you, he said. And to this day, he's still working on me. All right, Matthew chapter 17. And this is where we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And this is when Jesus was transfigured and becomes radiant in glory upon a mountain. So you're there in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." You know, I had to stop there because I kept thinking, how did those 3 know that there was Moses and Elijah? I had to stop for a minute. How did he know? I mean, did they have name tags on? You know, I'm Moses. I led them out of, you know, Egypt. You know, and, you know, Elijah had his, you know. You know, they had their, no, they didn't have name tags on. Well, you know they couldn't have looked it up in the class, you know. Yeah, I mean, their yearbooks. I mean, their pictures weren't in there then, right? I mean, you know, because, you know, somebody's given us a picture of Moses. We got pictures of Moses with long hair, with a real short beard, some without a beard. But see, most of us remember him as, I'm going to say, Charlton Heston. Long hair, long beard. You know, they've given us something to, hey, okay, we can picture it. But that amazed me. I said, how did they know? Did they get up and introduce themselves? Hi, Peter. I'm Moses. Hey, this is Elijah. I don't know if you remember us, but we're way back in history books. And you know, it's just certain things that just jump out at me. And I was trying to find it before I could get up here. And I said, no, I still can't figure out how they knew. Because it doesn't say it. I mean, I read a lot of commentaries and everything. I said, okay. All right, let's get back to now. But verse 5 here. Here's the key verse. While Jesus was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly, a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." The bright cloud. That glory cloud was the presence of God. And God spoke audibly from the cloud so that Peter, James, and his brother, John, could clearly hear him, giving authority to Jesus' words. He's speaking to us this morning, too. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Hear him. What did he say? Jesus even said this. Jesus said, "The words I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who sent me." Hear him. He speaks God's word. In John chapter 3, John chapter 3, verse 34. Now, this is the Passion Translation. "The one whom God has sent to represent," he was sent by God to represent him, "will speak the words of God. For God has poured out upon him the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I'll read that to you from the King James. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. Now, that's the reason I read the translation to you, because I think it brings a little bit more out. But I want to point out to you that all three persons of the Trinity are referred to in this verse. God the Father sent Jesus the Son and gave him the Holy Spirit without measure. Because when you read it in King James, it makes you think that, no, that's why the Passion Translation, without limitation. And if you haven't been baptized with a total Holy Spirit, I'll be glad to do that for you. Because, see, at the new birth, you do have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in you. But you need full power. Don't run off of a 12-volt system. Run off a 220. Right. Go for the gusto. Hallelujah. The one whom God has sent to represent him will speak the words of God. All right. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 22 through 25. This is the ERV, easy to read version. Do what God's teaching says. I don't even need to go any further, do I? But it goes on to say, don't just listen and do nothing. When you only sit and listen, you are fooling yourselves. Hearing God's teaching and doing nothing is like looking at your face in the mirror and doing nothing about what you saw. You'll go away immediately and forget how bad you look. But when you look into God's perfect law, that is the law of love, and what's love got to do with it? That sets people free. Pay attention to it. If you do what it says, you will have God's blessing. That's pretty good. If you do what it says, you will have God's blessing. Never just listen to his teaching and forget what you heard. Never just listen to his teaching and forget what you have heard. So, what he teaches in Mark 11, 24? Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive what you are praying and petitioning God for, and you will have it. Don't just listen to his teachings and forget what you heard. You stand on that scripture. You've prayed for something, you've prayed for a healing, in whatever area it is in your life, or someone else's, you're praying for that healing. You're going to want to see the manifestation of it, and that'll do because we're welcoming it in the glory of God. His very presence, His very presence. And what did we pray for yesterday? God heard what we prayed at ACA. He prayed what was heard in Washington, D.C. Okay? And when we prayed in Beaver, he heard what we as the people said. And in Aliquippa, their prayer march, he heard the people praying. In fact, he heard from others who were praying for the peace and restoration of the United States of America all over the world. And when people are doing that and praying and asking for the glory of God to come upon the nation, He comes upon the nation, but He comes upon the globe yesterday. He came upon the globe yesterday. He came upon the globe yesterday. Okay, and I wrote down what you said there, brother, at the very beginning, because it meant something to me. You said a mighty shift was coming. What was called the glory of God yesterday? That's what that shift was. People are starting to wake up. No longer are we being negligent and lazy. We know the power of our prayers. We know the power of our words. And we're going to welcome in His presence. Each and every day we're going to welcome in His presence. God, let Your presence be with us. Ha! We want to see the glory of God. We want to see the glory of God when we gather together. And just a reminder, 2 Corinthians, just to make sure, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. All right. We all know what 14 says. 15 here. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this globe, in ACA, in Washington, D.C., in Aliquippa, in every state. There were people in every state, but I believe that. I believe that. Because there are Christians that are scattered out to everywhere, but they've been silent too long. And there was a great awakening yesterday. There was a great awakening yesterday. Don't you be deceived by the devil saying, it didn't make a difference. It made a difference. Because he made a visitation. Did they have any hassles or problems down there in Washington, D.C.? Did they have any protesters or somebody coming against them down there in Aliquippa? No. Did they have a problem in Beaver? No. Did we have anybody walk in these doors that was not going to be in one accord with us? No. God's presence was felt. Probably one of the calmest days we've had in a long time. The presence of God was felt. In Zephaniah chapter 3, if you don't know how to get there, Denny will show you.
That's right. Just turn aside
the white pages. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. For the Lord your God is living among you.
Yes.
That's what the prophet is telling us. For the Lord your God is living among you. Doc, this next part of this scripture spoke to me and for you and for your lovely wife. It says, a powerful one who wins the battles.
Yeah.
That's who's living among you.
Oh, yeah.
Powerful one who wins the battles. Wow. If God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. Nobody. See, nobody knows. He does. Nobody knows that you've been through. He does. Because it's that kind of love that He has. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs that are being sung. You know what? Let's go to the skip Haggai and let's go to Zechariah, the next Z. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 10. Amplified version. Zechariah 2, verse 10. Sing for joy and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. God is living among us. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. God is living among us. Verse 14. And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory of God, His presence, became flesh and bone. It came in human form, the form of Jesus Christ. The glory of God. Amen. Walked on this earth. You know, Moses only got to see Him as a cloud. But no, you know, I take that back. He did not. You think about Moses now. Moses wanted to see God. He did. He asked Him in Exodus 33, right? We would go, Exodus 33. He wanted to see God. And he asked God that he wanted to see Him. And God said, yeah, we can arrange that. We can arrange that. He said, because you are highly favored by me. So what he says, he was highly favored. And he says, and I know you by name. God told him, I know you by name. The day the bush was burning, he knew his name. He knew his name the day he was conceived in the womb. He knows your name. The day you were conceived, He knew your name. You just go, wow, sometimes. Praise you, Jesus. But after having a little bit of a discussion, what God told him? That you can't see my face, though. Can't see my face. For no man shall see me and live, is what God said. Because of the brilliance. Do you understand? But though Moses did get a glimpse of God, what did he do? He took him up there, hit him in the cliffs of the rock on the mountain, and said, I'm going to pass by. But as he was passing by, he put his hand so he could protect him from the brilliance as he was going forward. Can you imagine that? I mean, if we turn all the lights on in here, you know what it's like? I mean, it whites out what's on the pages. That's what was happening. But he was protected because that was the man he loved. He called him to do something. But as he went by him, what did he do? Then he moved his hand and says he got to see the back. He got to see God's back. He got to see and know that to him, God revealed Himself to him. Maybe by the back. But see, we live with someone else. Did the glory of God, His brilliance, His radiance, and His brightness, it would have been too much for Moses. Sorry, I think he'd have been a crispy critter. Those who saw Jesus face to face were able to see and enjoy God's full glory. The full glory of God was manifested in him. I know you're sitting there. Well, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. It might help you a little bit there. John chapter 14, verse 9. Well, you jump out to verse 8. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." So how can you say, "Show us the Father"? They were looking at Jesus face to face. Imagine that. The presence of God was there. And they were able to see. Because He manifested His presence, His full glory in the Son, in Jesus, in human form. Shekinah. Glory, the divine presence of God, is in the world today. God continues to work in the world through His divine presence. Shekinah glory. Because He's dwelling. He chooses to dwell when we open it up and pray for Him. Pray for Him to come in. Bring His glory. Lord, come visit us. Lord, bring Your glory down. We want to see Your glory down, coming down. We want to be and feel Your presence. We want to feel Your presence. We should be praying for this manifestation of the Shekinah glory every day. Every day. His presence to be dwelling on the earth. Can you see physical manifestations of God's glory today? Yes. Yes. There are countless testimonies of individuals and groups of believers having seen visible evidence of God's glory. How many get Dean's little thing this morning? You take a chance to look at it? What was it on? Was it on? Okay, if you saw it. It was on the glory. It was on glory. So I'd ask him, I said, "Dean, when did you get that?" He said, "I got it on Thursday. The day I was really cramming on some of the things here. I came in. And it came out this morning." But like when you get down to the very end of it. You know what it said? "Pay attention, beloved. My glory is everywhere. Are you evident of what is happening when His presence is made known?" We should be rejoicing for that, what happened yesterday. His presence was felt. The presence of God was felt throughout this world, through this nation. And we've seen it right here in this church. We've seen the presence of God right here in this church with the manifestations of healing, of miracles. If you aren't expecting to see it, you won't recognize it happened. But it did, because people were praying for it. Those that were praying for it saw it. Pay attention, beloved. My glory is everywhere. You don't have to wait for a special service to see God's glory. All you got to do is begin praying. Praying and expecting to see the glory every day. Praying. And that's why we want to see miracles and signs and wonders. Well, that's what we're going to continue with from the very beginning up here. This was paving the way. Amen. So, thank you.